This is Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Gamley. Last fall, a Dover high school teacher was placed on leave after a class assignment on the Reconstruction period led to students singing about the Ku Klux Klan to the tune of Jingle Bells. That incident led to discussions within the Dover School District and other local school communities about better equipping teachers on how they talk about the histories of persons of color in their classrooms. And as students begin a new school year, typical New Hampshire classrooms will be filled with a majority of white students taught by mostly white teachers. Jerry Ann Bogus says there is so much more to the history of black people in New Hampshire than what is currently taught in schools.
The mythology is New Hampshire is a lily white state, which implies that there's no grounding, no roots, no long 400-year history of blacks in the state.
Bogus is the executive director of the Black Heritage Trail of New Hampshire.
And when we talk about African-American history, of course, when we think of the North, we just don't think of the North as a place that had enslavement. So they seem to go hand in hand of being erased in the state.
I'm meeting with her in Portsmouth, where the Black Heritage Trail has established a tour of 24 historical sites. The nonprofit has worked to bring awareness and appreciation to New Hampshire's African American history. One of its goals is to create curricula for teachers on black history within their own local region. So far, it's partnered with UNH and a handful of teachers in Portsmouth to come up with lesson plans that tell the stories of black people who lived in their own city.
So when we come up and our current students say that, okay, in the 1960s, the civil rights movement wasn't only in Alabama, they didn't have just blacks fighting for representation and fighting for equality only down south, but right in their own backyard, then you have to rethink what it is you know about the place that you live. You see the connections between what happened then, maybe what's going on now, how we've changed, how we move forward, and how our thinking can grow, and what needs to happen to do that.
What are the challenges in trying to present that, to present actual stories, personal stories, rather than just a narrative? Because you are talking to predominantly a white audience that maybe they have just been exposed to a much simpler, much more watered down version, you know, of North versus South. How do you break down those barriers and get people to talk about something that's a much more personal and probably a lot more painful conversation?
See, that's why the curriculum is important, right? Because if we start when they're learning about these things in school, at the time in the social studies program, when they're looking at their local history, when they're looking at the civil rights movement, when they're looking at civic engagement, when they're looking at all these different places that you can insert these stories in their curriculum, if we have these stories, then teachers can use them. They can be prepared, they can have ideas, they can learn, and so that we're educating our new set of scholars, our young minds, in a different way, in a more honest and truthful way. So in so doing, we decrease that anxiety over racial disparities. One of the things we're afraid to do is really look honestly at our past, because we may not like what we see. We want to portray an image of what America is, you know, equal justice for all. That's what we stand on. Our democracy stands on parallel in the world. But when we look beyond it, when you look at how different people are treated, how different groups of people have been treated throughout history in the country, then there's a false narrative there. So if we start looking at that, then we can dialogue. Gosh, some people made some mistakes. Gosh, some people believed differently. We had to dehumanize some people in order to have the country that we have today, right? So if we start early enough, when these young minds are just getting opened, just getting inquisitive, are learning and create this more inclusive story, then we have a better chance of creating an understanding.
The curricula is for elementary, middle, and high school students. Lessons include hands-on activities in the classroom and at sites along the Black Heritage Trail. Bogus emphasizes the importance of students being able to get out and see these places.
Doing site visits are always really rewarding and exciting stuff, because that child's imagination can go in all these places. It takes it out of the book to bring it real, the earthiness, the visibility of the place and their imagination going and their learning. It makes more of an impact,
yeah,
especially...
They can touch it. And for a child, that makes a big difference.
Yeah. And you go to a site like the African Burying Ground here and you look and go, oh my God, people were buried here, you know? And you say, this is not a typical gravesite. This is not what a gravesite would look like. So what does that mean, you know? And so it starts you into a deeper conversation, you know, and an easier way to get into the conversation when you have these places. Or Harriet Wilson published a book in 1853, right? A black woman in Milford, New Hampshire, being the first black woman to publish a novel. Wow. Then that stereotype of the unintelligent black person has to go away. Or the first magician who was traveling all over the country, Richard Potter, you know, which Potter's Place is named after in Andover, New Hampshire. He was a rock star back then. It creates all these different images of people. So all of a sudden, you're starting to see people for the stories, their activities, what they've added to the culture, and not the stereotypical image of what blackness is or what an enslaved person is. We start really looking at accomplishments. We're judging them by their character, not by the color of their skin.
That was Jerry Ann Bogus, the executive director of the Black Heritage Trail of New Hampshire. You can find photos of our interview with Bogus and of the trail in Portsmouth and at nhpr.org. It's Morning Edition from NHPR.